stretches us, causes us to go beyond where we want to go. But in order for us truly to be where God wants us to be and to do the things God wants us to do, we must stretch ourselves and go beyond where we want to be.
Amen.
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 I didn't lose you yet. You still with me, right? So one of the things that we're seeing, Reverend Worthy, in this scripture is that when you look at verses 21 and 20, 21 and 22, you see this is the premise why Jesus told the parable. Jesus told the parable because of the fact that Peter raised the question of, if a member of the church it sins against me, how many times should I forgive? And then he said, seven times? And then, but Jesus looked at him and said, nah, bro. Depending on your translation, one translation will say, no, 70 times seven. Where New Revised Standard says 77. In either case, it's just a scenario where the Lord said, why are you counting how many times somebody sinned against you? It's all about forgiving folk, because you know what the reality is. Could you imagine if God counted on us? If God said, well, if you get to this number, then guess what? I ain't going to forgive you no more. I want you to know that everybody up in here done probably passed that number who knows how many times. But it's because of God's grace and mercy we are where we are. And since we know it's nobody but God who made a way out of no way, we have to always remember what is really important. So as we look at this, this parable Jesus is about to share with us and has shared with us, and we're about to look at in more depth, is that Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a king who is now getting ready to settle his accounts with all those who owe him stuff. So what he is saying is that the king is calling back all his loans. So whatever you owe them, you got to pay up. If you ran up a high bill, shame on you. And I want you to know that, Deacon Alex, that there was a slave who ran up a high bill. The brother's bill was so high, he owed the king 10,000 talents. And I want you to know that 10,000 talents might be the equivalent of over $1 million. And I know some of your translations might not say 10,000 talents. It might say a million. Because Jesus was utilizing these numbers to let them understand how the Heavenly Father has done for us. So what he is saying is that when this slave came and he saw how much he owed, what we're seeing, the king said to him, basically, can I use my spiritual imagination? Can y'all work with me for a minute, Reverend Rose? So what is happening is that one of the servants of the king said, yo, king, this is the gentleman that owes you 10,000 talents. And he's standing there not knowing what to say. And the king says, do you owe me 10,000 talents? Yes, sir. Are you going to be able to pay me right now? No, sir. So the king looks at his servants and says, all right, this is what I want y'all to do. Take him. Sell him. You're married, right? Uh-huh. Sell his wife. You got kids, right? Sell them. And y'all go check all his possessions and sell all that and bring me the money. Because he done ran up a bill that he can't pay. Do you see what I'm saying? Don't you know, ain't no different from us. We done ran up bills that we can't pay. And now that he's run up this bill that he can't pay, he's about not just to lose himself, but lose everything he has. His wife ain't run the bill up. His children ain't run the bill up. But everybody's going to suffer the consequences of the actions that he has done. So once this slave hears this, I want you to know, Sister Rhodes, he runs and falls on his knees. King, please, don't sell me and my family and my possessions. Be patient with me. Give me time. I will find a way to give you back everything I took. Please, have pity on me. And the king looked at him. And the king said to him, come on, man, get up. Get up. Because right now, we're about to have a long burning service. Because I'm about to burn up what you owe me. And you're going to be clear and free of any debt you have to me. And could you imagine that slave? Eyes full of tears. Went through about 2 boxes of Kleenexes. And to hear the king say, you are free and clear and you owe me what? Nothing. And now that you owe me nothing, could you imagine how he felt? And knowing that he was about to lose everything just a couple of minutes ago. Everything he thought that he was going to lose, the king allowed it to stay with him. And on top of that, you don't have to pay not a penny. He owed the king over $1 million. And now the king has said, you are free and clear of your debt. Did that brother have something to shout about? Look at us today. Look at the debt we ran up through the sin in our lives. And when we came and gave our lives to Jesus, the Lord said, now you are free and clear. That which was about to take you out has now been removed, because you are now free and clear. And you know, and when you think about it, it makes you wonder how some folk can just come to church and act like it ain't no big deal. How some folk can come to church and not shout hallelujah every now and then. How they can't even clap their hands every now and then. Can't wave their hand and say thank you every now and then. Because when you think about all that God has done, think about where the Lord brought you from. Think about how he cleaned you up. Think about how you are not toe up from the floor up like you used to be. Think about how you got a roof over your head, clothes on your back, money in your pocket, a bed to sleep in, able to wake up and have full activity of your limbs. But you act like it ain't a big deal to be in church and give God some praise. Don't you know what the Lord has done for you? So when we look at this, y'all, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's going to get tight, but you're going to be all right. Now, what am I saying? Once we're seeing how this man has been forgiven, isn't that what it says? He's now free and clear of any debt. Right? Because the king released him in verse 27 and forgave him of the debt. Look at verse 28. It starts off with a conjunction. And that conjunction, it starts off with, is one that turns the corner. You ain't going on the same street. And that conjunction is called what? But. Check this out. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him by the throat, he said, pay what you owe. Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me and I will pay you. But turn another corner. He refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. What a difference a second makes. I didn't say a day. I ain't say an hour. I said a second. Because the second he left the king, he saw somebody who owed him 100 denarii, which Deacon Booth might be $100, maybe. But he just got his debt cleared of over $1 million. Brother Penn, could you imagine? How is it that he quit so quickly, forgotten what had happened to him? You see, the reality is this. He couldn't forgive this slave of his debt because he thought he was running the same game that he just ran on the king. He couldn't forgive because he thought, Deacon Wiley, that he was running the same game. Give him some tears. Fall down and ask for patience. Please don't. You know what this tells me? Is that this brother did not change on the inside. He didn't realize or appreciate what was done for him. He was too busy running his game that he didn't recognize the significance of what he had been released. Even if he was running the game, he could have at least looked at the dude and say, oh man, go ahead. But it just goes to show you where his head is. You see, because I want you to understand is that when you are wounded, all you want to do is wound. And the problem, y'all, that we have to grab a hold of is that when we read this so far, it was between the king and the slave that owed $1 million, one-on-one. And then it was between the slave that was cleared of the million and the slave that owed him roughly $100. Each scenario was called a one-on-one. But I want you to understand. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, they're looking at you. I don't care who you are, where you are, what you're doing. Callan, somebody looking at you. As much as you think you are able to slide through and get away with something, I want you to know, Brother Roscoe, they're looking at you. Sister Penn, I know they might see your clap, but they don't understand your clap. But I want you to know they're still looking. And what is happening is this. Because I want you to know that this is the main problem in the church. Is that we feel we can shout in here and praise God all that we want. But I can go out there and be anything I want to be. You see, those slaves were around in the palace and saw what this dude was forgiven and his debt was. And now he is going to lock up a dude that owes him such a small amount. He could not have forgiveness. And you know why he couldn't have forgiveness? Because he was still wounded. As long as you walk around wounded, you can't ever reach your full potential. You'll always walk around mad at everybody. No matter how folk want to see the bright side of a situation, you always going to bring out the other side. Right now, somebody is saying, oh, well, the sun's coming out. That's all right. The clouds going to cover it back up in a minute. Did you enjoy the kids singing? Yeah, but they ain't have but about 8 or 9 of them up in the choir loft. Oh, didn't you see the young people praise dancing? Yeah, I understand all that, but we ain't do that back when I was growing up. They always find to put some shade on a situation that's got light. They always want to throw some shade. Now, for those of us who understand that vernacular, means that they always got to bring a negative wherever a positive is. And because of that, I want you to see where the sermon heading is coming from. And then we're going to wrap this all together. Can we go take a look at it? Look at verse number 32. Then his Lord summoned him and said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?" Let me put it this way. Shouldn't you have paid it forward like I paid it to you? Didn't I release you of your debt? Shouldn't you have paid it forward and released him of his debt? You didn't see the value in what was done for you. Why? Because you're still wounded. You have not appreciated what was done for you because you're wounded. Now, wait a minute. Now, hold on, Pastor. What are you talking about? Go with me because it's going to make sense here in these last two verses. And in verse 34, "And in anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So," check this out, "so my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister." What's the last three words? This slave who owed $1 million was forgiven, but he didn't embrace it from the heart. You see, the Lord ain't asking us to do something he hasn't already done. When the Lord healed us, he healed us from the heart. When the Lord shows us grace and mercy, it comes from his heart. Whenever he makes a way out of nowhere, he does it from the heart. And don't you know, when he created this earth, which was an empty void, he put everything here on the earth. And then he said to those who were with him, "Let us make man in our own image." Which means that we were the last things that he created, because he created us from. Oh, somebody gonna work with me. And since we were created from the heart, the Lord, I want you to know, Brother Smith, he gave us the playground, then put us in it. Somebody gonna catch that. When Adam and Eve went to the garden was already there. All the vegetation was there. Everything they needed was there. Then God placed them there. That means the playground was already in place. All you had to do was hang out in the playground, do what you were supposed to do. And I created you in my image, which means that I am a God that has a heart. So I in turn had to give you a... Oh, somebody gonna work with me. So what the Lord is asking from us is what he already put in us and what he has already made a way for us. If the Lord has delivered us, healed us, and set us free, why are we going to walk around and want to put other folk in bondage? Because everything God did for us, he did it from the heart. Now, if God has forgiven you from the heart, then it's left up to you to forgive others from the heart. But if you're unable to forgive others from the heart, that means you're still walking around wounded. You're still walking around angry. You're still walking around bitter, frustrated, and mad, because you're not willing to forgive from the heart. And you know what? Truth be told, can we be real here? The Lord isn't asking us to do something he hadn't already done for us. And I want you to understand that I don't care how bad a sin somebody did to you, it couldn't have been no worse than what they did to Jesus. Because don't you know, they nailed him to the cross. They pierced him in the side. They hung him up to kill him. And he knew what was coming. And he still said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." When Jesus said that, he said it from the heart. And if he said it from the heart, why are we walking around as hard-hearted people? We are walking around wounded when God tells us we need to be healed. Your healing comes when you're able to forgive folk from the...
There's value in paying it. Don't you know? Church, God is equipping Broad Rock. God is getting ready to take us to a place we've never been before. God is increasing us in ways that we're not going to really be able to understand, but we're going to know it's nobody but God. And as God is doing it, why? All because of the fact that we understood and are relying on this concept of making sure that we see that there's value in paying it forward. Don't you know you wouldn't be here unless somebody else paid it forward? Because somebody paid it forward, aren't you here today? Because somebody realized that you had been messed up, but they didn't give up on you, but they forgave you and told you, it don't matter how you, I forgive you, but I want you to know there's somebody who is greater than I, who will forgive you of all your sins and allow you to become a new creation. Old things will be passed away. Behold, all things will become new. And the only way that's going to happen is when you come and give Jesus your heart. And if you can give the Lord your heart, how come you can't forgive folk about the little stuff? You know, and this is the scenario that Jesus is talking about. When you think about all that God has delivered us from and how he has forgiven us for, I want you to know that what folk have done to us truly is dull in comparison to what God has forgiven us for. Because if you think about all the stuff that we did before we came to Jesus, we had dug a hole that we couldn't get out of. And no matter what we did, we got deeper in the hole and not coming out the hole. But thank God for Jesus, because he made a way out of no way. And when we called on his holy name, didn't he come and get us up out that pit? Do I got any witnesses in God's house that understand that it was nobody but Jesus that made a way out of no way? Somebody ought to thank him right now, because I want you to know it was nobody but But you're going to get tight faced because somebody ain't say good morning to you. You're going to get all bent out of shape because they talked about you. You know they're looking at you, right? But wounded folk, all they ever want to do is wound. You see the reality of the situation is that God doesn't want us to think about the little stuff. He wants us to see the big picture. The big picture is recognizing what has God done for you. And when you understand all that God has done for you, will you allow something as minuscule as somebody talking about you, somebody turning their back on you, somebody trying to do something to you? Don't you pay that stuff no mind. All that is distractions. All it's trying to do is take your eye off the prize. All that is stuff that's trying to sway you left and right. That's all stuff that's trying to become a detour in your life. But when you know how you got to where you are, that is nothing but the grace and mercy of God. When you realize that you don't deserve anything that God has blessed you with, and you know that the only reason why you got it is because you put your trust in Jesus and you gave him your life, and as you did that, didn't the Lord start doing what you thought was impossible? And now that the Lord is doing the impossible in your life, you mean to tell me you're going to let somebody who whispers about you get you off your game? I'm here to tell you today, my brothers and my sisters, they don't have a heaven or hell to send you to. And the Lord has opened up the doors of heaven for you to come in. I don't know about you. I ain't going to let no hellish situation pull me back. I've come too far in order to go back. Do I got anybody that understands that I've come too far? I ain't going backwards. I've come this far because the Lord has made a way out of no way. He's been better to me than I've been to myself. He blessed me when I didn't deserve to be blessed. Do I got anybody who understands how God has made a way for you? How God has turned your life around? How God has been there with you through thick and through thin? And now you're going to just let some little stuff get in your way? Think about this. It's all about forgiveness. But you know what it's really all about? There's value in paying it forward. And if you don't believe me, do I need to show you one more time?
because we saw it, and I'm going to show you one more time. We're seeing in verse 33, I'm sorry. He says in verse 33, should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had on you? That's called paying it. Do you see the value? The value is that God has forgiven me of all the big stupid stuff I did. But I can't forgive you for the little stuff you done did. You see, I want you to understand something about the Word of God. When the Word of God is preached, and whenever the Word of God is read, and even when you're reading the Word of God at home during your own time. You know, I had some folk come up to me and say, Reverend Rose, you know, Pastor, you stepped on my feet today. I said, well, I missed. Because I ain't trying to step on your feet. Because God ain't stepping on my feet. God is pricking my heart. And what God wants to do is prick your heart. Because when I get to your heart, I get to that which makes you tick. And if God gets to that which makes you tick, that means that now God's got you and that you understand what it's all about. You see, and when you understand that, then you recognize the healing that God is doing in your life. And in order for you to move forward and help folk, you can't move forward and help folk while you're wounded, because you're thinking about your own wounds, your own pain. So all you want to do is create more wounds and more pain, and you get more fulfillment out of seeing other folk hurt rather than seeing other folk celebrate. Why? Because you are wounded, and when you are wounded, you don't want to see anybody else smiling around you. You want folk to be frowning just like you're frowning. Why? Because you are wounded. The Lord wants us to pay it for. And church, let me let you in on a secret. The faster we start moving forward and paying it forward, there will not be enough room for folk to get in here at 8 or 11 o'clock. When we take the principle that God, this is a foundational principle of Christianity, because of the fact that we have to do what? Pay it forward. I'm not blessed to keep it to myself. You see, there are so many folk who want to tell you how blessed they are. Tell you about where they live, the cars they drive, the money they got in the bank, how much they got of this and how much they got of that. But God ain't concerned with all that. God is blessing us in order for us to help somebody else. And if you're not helping somebody with what you got, you might keep it for a while, but guess what? You're going to be miserable, because you're always worrying about who's trying to take this, who's trying to take that. But when you are a child of God and you know that it's nobody but God who is blessing you, nobody but God who is making a way for you, you realize that as the Lord pours into your life, He'll continue to pour more into your life if you're willing to take that which you have and be a blessing to somebody else. When you learn how to pay it forward, you'll see how God's going to grow this church. When we learn how to pay it forward, we're going to see how God is going to move even more in this church, because we recognize that we are not people who are wounded. We are people who are what? Heal. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of living a wounded life. I'm tired of being bitter about everything. I'm tired of talking about folk all the time. I'm tired of looking at how they dress. Because Reverend Worthy, I want you to know, somebody looking at you said, I can't believe Pastor let that young man sit up there with holes in his pants. Really? Is that really that important? Really? Rather than saying that, thank and praise God that He called a 22-year-old man to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. He recognizes the presence of God in his life. He knows who healed him, who delivered him, who set him free. And he said, I got to do what? Pay it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Wounded folk will always see what's wrong and never want to praise God for what's right. There could be 10 things right, but they're going to focus on that one thing that's. Why? Because they are. And they can't see good, because the pain won't allow them to see the good around them. What I'm saying to us today, my brothers and sisters, are you still wounded when God says you're supposed to be healed? And because of your woundedness,
You are not just hurting you. You're hurting others. Let me give you this statement. Wounded folk want to wound others. But healed folk share their blessings. Are you hearing this? I want you to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, aren't you tired? You see, the reality is that if you're wounded, I'm saying that you don't have to stay there any longer. I'm saying that today is your day where you're going to say, enough is enough. I'm tired of walking around wounded. I'm tired of always walking around like I got a dark cloud over my head. I say that the Lord loves me and that he's the head of my life. He is my all in all. He is the lily of the valley. He is the bright and morning star. He is a good shepherd. He's been there with me. He's stuck to me closer than a brother. He's been there with me through thick and through thin. I can come to church and praise all day long, but when I leave this place, ain't nothing changed about me. That's telling me that you're still wounded. You aren't moving in your blessings. It's time for you now to walk in your blessings. But the only way to walk in your blessings is that you got to know you are healed. Lord, I got to go 5 more minutes. Here we go. I thought I had y'all. Y'all got nervous. Y'all made me nervous. You see, I want you to understand wounded folk can't do nothing but wound others. And what God wants you and I to understand that we are people who are healed. It's not that we're perfect. It's not that we dot all our I's and cross all the T's. But what we recognize is that if I stumble, I know how to confess my sins because my God is faithful and just and will forgive me of all unrighteousness. Because I want you to understand, you might be saved, but you're still wounded because you are looking too much at what's wrong than what's right in your life. You got to realize if you still got life, you got something to praise God for. If you can clap your hands, you got something to praise God for. If you can hear me, you got something to praise God for. If you can see me, you got something to praise God for. If you can rise to your feet, you got something to praise God for. You see, when you understand that, then you know that I am. And since I am healed, I will not go back. Because I want you to know, Sister Betty, there's always somebody who knows your rap sheet. Oh, Betty, you remember how we used to hang out, girl? And you can let them know that's a rap sheet that you can rap all about. But I want you to know that I'm wrapped in the blood of the Lamb. I've been cleansed, I've been healed, I've been delivered, I've been set free. So I don't care what you know how I used to be. I know what I am right now. Do I got anybody in God's house who knows that I'm healed right now? And I don't care what you know about my yesterday. I know what I am right now. And what I am is I am a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus paid my debt, and he paid it what? In full. So I will no longer look back, but I will pay it because I am. Are you hearing me? I am healed. I will no longer walk around wounded. The wounds that you have are not just hurting you, it's hurting us. We don't want you to be that way no more. We want you to be better. And the only way to get better is you got to know you're healed.